Our next speaker is Dr. Richard Clapp. I have known for about the same length of time. I'll drop this thing. And has done enormous services to many, many communities in this country by bringing public health information to people who don't have access to academic settings. He received his master's in public health from this very high school here, and his doctor of science in epidemiology from BU School of Public Health. He is a member of several professional organizations and currently serves as vice president of the steering committee of the Greater Boston Physicians for Social Responsibility. He is currently on the faculty as an associate professor at the School of Public Health in the Environmental Health Department. It's a pleasure to have Richard Clapp.
One slight correction. I'm on the faculty at the Boston University School of Public Health. I think in this building, when you say the School of Public Health, everyone assumes it's talking about this one. But I actually work at the Boston University School of Public Health in the Department of Environmental Health. I also wanted to note that Shelley Krimsky mentioned that we have an awful lot of white beards on the panel here. And I think Laura and Diane can be excused from this, but Ken just told me earlier the only reason he doesn't have a white beard is because he doesn't let it grow out because he doesn't want to see it. So I'm not sure what that means, and I'm not sure what it means about our collective group here, but we're getting whiter all the time, and we need to have more younger people doing this kind of thing. That's one of the reasons we're doing this tonight, I think. I wanted to talk not really about the influence of industry on funding universities or funding research in universities, but really the industry influence on an agency. I'm really going to just tell a story. I have no transparencies, and I have no bottom line. This is a story that's still going on, and it's about the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency's, reassessment of dioxin, the health effects and the implications of exposures to people in this country to dioxin. This is a process, this reassessment of the EPA's position on dioxin started 10 years ago, and it was really instituted because of pressure by industry on then Secretary of Environmental, the administrator, I think, of the Environmental Protection Agency, William Riley, in 1991. The American Paper Institute, API, and the Chemical Manufacturers Association pressured then-Administrator Riley to begin reassessing the EPA's position on how toxic dioxin was because there had been a prior conference about a year earlier that suggested that the mechanism by which dioxin may exert all its influence was through a receptor, the so-called AH receptor. And what this implies is, if you follow this through, is that there may be a threshold or a safe level below which exposure to dioxin would not be expected to have any health effects in humans. So that development, I guess you would say, in the scientific community led the industry organizations to pressure then, this was under Bush the First, the administrator of EPA under Bush the First, Riley, to instigate this process. And it was supposed to be a year and a half long. This was supposed to be completed by, say, the end of 1993. Well, it's been 10 years. It's nowhere near, well, it's getting near completion. I wouldn't hazard to estimate when it's going to be completed. And I was asked at a couple of points along the way to participate. I did some of my research at Boston University on Agent Orange, Vietnam veterans and the cancers, actually, that Vietnam veterans got compared to other veterans. And the exposure of interest in Vietnam, for cancer at least, was herbicide spraying and especially the dioxin contaminants. So because of that, I was asked by the EPA staff to review the chapter for this reassessment on epidemiology, basically just to give them informal advice as to whether the chapter was complete and whether there were major things left out or stated wrong and so forth, which I did without pay. Some people say, a lot of no good deed goes unpunished. This was one that did not go unpunished. I spent a lot of time on this and then submitted my comments to the EPA staff person. And then about a year later, in 1995, the EPA Science Advisory Board was charged with the task of reviewing what the EPA agency had come up with, a multi-volume, eight-volume, foot-high dioxin reassessment. And so the Science Advisory Board, which is supposed to be scientists outside the agency, which advise the agency on scientific questions, convened a panel subcommittee to review the dioxin reassessment that had been released in draft in 1994. So in the 1995 SAB meeting, which was held at a hotel in, you know, some godforsaken town in Virginia near Dulles Airport, one of these, you know, whatever you call it, pressure cooker type consultants hotel, about 20 of us convened that were either Science Advisory Board members. This panel was made up of both members of the Science Advisory Board and then consultants who have some special knowledge or expertise that are brought in. And that first panel, I think there were about five Science Advisory Board members, which sort of covered a range of skills and expertise. Actually broke into two groups. One was focusing on exposure and how estimates of exposure are made, and the other is on health effects and what are the implications of exposures in terms of human health. I was on that latter panel or subcommittee. And then we met in a room, like a Holiday Inn type hotel, in a conference room with a round or a big semicircle table, the 20 of us that were considering the health effects. And then rows of it looked to me like Gucci Gulch. You know, the industry consultants were sitting there with their very shiny shoes and suits and ties mostly, taking notes, furiously taking notes. And then there was a period of public comment during this 1995 meeting at this hotel, and person after person who stood up to make comments said, I'm representing the American Paper Institute, or I'm here for the consulting group called Environ, and we are here presenting a panel at the request of the American Forest Products Association, one industry organization after another, basically, and a few oddballs, I must say, also spoke at this. And then the EPA panel considered all this input, discussed amongst ourselves what we thought the scientific evidence showed at that time and how well the EPA had reflected that in their documents, and then drafted a statement that was supposed to be the Science Advisory Board panel's view of the EPA draft reassessment document. And that was done. And I must say the panel was overwhelmingly favorable toward the industry comments that had come from the floor. I mean, this is my own feeling, watching the members of the panel, sitting next to members of the panel, hearing sort of sidebar comments, that the industry comments from the floor were meeting a basically favorable review from this subcommittee sitting around. And so as a result, the Science Advisory Board document that's supposed to summarize these subcommittee members' comments was very negative. And in fact, I would say trashed the EPA's scientific reassessment. My own view of the scientific reassessment and the view of my chair, Dr. David Ozanoff, who was also on this panel, and two others, was that the document was a credible, highly technically sound, up-to-date assessment of the scientific literature about the health effects of dioxin. The Science Advisory Board statements was so different from that that we actually wrote a letter to Science, the journal called Science, saying we disagreed with the statement that had been produced by the Science Advisory Board. And so we were like a minority caucus within the Science Advisory Board panel. So that happened, and that basically when that type of thing happens, the EPA has to go back and redraft the reassessment, the dioxin reassessment, which they did. Took a long time. A lot of new science has been generated in the last 10 years. So there are a lot of things now known about the mechanisms of action of dioxin. There is a threshold for some of these mechanisms. There's no threshold for some others. And some mechanisms, or some toxic effects, are actually supralinear at low dose. So this latest reassessment, which was produced about a year ago, actually says that the sum of the effects, in other words, the supralinear, the linear, and the sublinear effects, cannot be scientifically distinguished from linearity at low dose. In other words, as you increase dose of dioxin, you will increase effects in human beings. And so that was the sort of statement that summarized a lot of the literature in this second draft of the dioxin reassessment. That and other comments like that the dioxin is likely, I think the language is likely to cause cancer in humans. Two other agencies, by the way, simultaneously with this, the International Agency for Research on Cancer has declared the most toxic dioxin, 2,3,7,8-TCDD, to be a known human carcinogen. They're group one in their classification systems. That happened in 1997, again, by an internationally selected panel that met in France. And so that had happened as backdrop. The EPA's language was quite similar to that in this second draft of the reassessment. And then we went around in November for a two-day public meeting and discussed this new document and new scientific evidence that was summarized in the document. And again, I felt like I was in Gucci Gulch. It was another one of these god-awful hotels. People sitting in the audience were, most of the people were furiously taking notes and, looked like they weren't even going to speak. They were just going to go out and get on their cell phone and call in their notes. And there were people on the panel at both of these meetings who were actually organizing people on the subcommittee who were either consultants to or members of the EPA Science Advisory Board who were organizing sort of private lunches and getting some of these folks from the audience to come and have lunch with them and discuss. So there was a process going on here, folks, and it was very industry-dominated, and I could feel it. I mean, I could tell from who was in the room and what was happening and what side conversations were happening that this was going on. And I think this had a very profound impact on yet the second Science Advisory Board summary of the EPA's reassessment. The comments at the public meeting, which are on the public record, they were taped, you can get the transcript off the EPA website, were actually quite, I would say, balanced. And a fair number of people spoke strongly in favor of some of the new EPA comments about dioxin. And for example, the carcinogenicity of dioxin. And it seemed like I felt consensus that, well, it is going to be named a carcinogen, and we should go along with that on the Science Advisory Board. What's happened since is that a document's been drafted by the EPA Science Advisory Board staff that I think has been subverted by industry representatives on the scientific subcommittee. I'll give you one example. Two examples, actually. One is a request this is actually made publicly at the November meeting, but is also made separately by email by Dr. John Graham, who I think we'll be talking about some more later, that the EPA should talk about the anti-carcinogenicity of dioxin at low dose. In other words, maybe it protects against dioxin at low dose, and that the EPA's document should reflect that in order to be a balanced document. And he gave two articles from the literature. One was from a rat study by a scientist named Kosiba in the 70s, in which there did seem to be some sort of low-dose decline in carcinogenicity. And a second study that was actually not of cancer, but of altered hepatic foci, altered cells in the liver, again, an animal study that also seemed to show at low dose that there was like a less than linear effect or maybe even a depressed effect at low dose. Those two studies balancing dozens of studies to the contrary that suggested that it was at least linear, these effects, carcinogenicity and altered liver function or liver foci was at least linear at low dose. And so that process went on after the public meeting. Some of it started in the public meeting. I think the document that the SAB actually produces will have some language like that, but it will say that this is, this is the view of one or several of the members of the committee, not necessarily the majority. I'm getting the hook here from Ken, so I'm going to just mention one other example on the Science Advisory Board briefly, and this is an input by Dennis Pastenbach, who's a toxicologist who works for a company called Exponent, which is clearly an industry consulting group. He is actually in the Menlo Park, California office. And he's been introducing text to the Science Advisory Board summary of the meetings and new references that we've never seen before and that weren't discussed at these either the public meeting or a public conference call later. And so it forces people like me who want to try to keep to the science and see that this thing is accurate to look up these references. And I looked up a reference that Pastenbach suggested, and it turns out it wasn't what he said it was about at all. It was about something completely different. And it was co-authored by one of his colleagues at Exponent. But it's like an example, I think, of sort of subverting the process. And in that case, it would have been introducing erroneous arguments into a document. And so it's still going on, this draft of the Science Advisory Board reaction to the second EPA dioxin reassessment is nearing final completion. It will go to the agency, and then the agency will decide what, if anything, they're going to do as a result of it. But I'm just here to tell you that there is strong industry pressure on the agency through this mechanism of the Science Advisory Board review of the dioxin reassessment. And maybe we can talk more later.